Go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
You know, the televangelist mic works a lot better when you actually turn it on. I thought I had, but I hadn't, and I only noticed that I hadn't when I did the well howdy part, and I wasn't there. Hey, you know what this is? Well, it's a minute past the hour, and this is a very special, no kidding, really, this program is live, Christmas on the Front Porch. I dare say we may be the only one of the only live programs, progressive or otherwise, that's out there today. Sit back and enjoy. Tell your friends and neighbors there's actually live progressive radio to be had this evening. I hope you'll enjoy it as much as I will. It was a fairly quiet day today, as I had said before. But it was a lovely one, too. Uh-huh. It was a, like I said, well, Berg said he got his Christmas wish. In so far as he got up this morning, looked out the window, and found himself the recipient of a white Christmas. It snowed last night. But it, you know what? It was about as nice a white Christmas as you could ask for, because unlike the unlike other people around the country who got a white Christmas overnight, ours was not sloppy and debilitating. And mirabile dictu, Appalachian Power's crappy old cruddy, antiquated, broken down, coal-fired power grid somehow managed to stay up. I know, knock wood. So, I hope you'll enjoy the conversation this evening. This begins the final week of 2017. Thank you very kindly, Steve. Loud and clear, traversing the Rideau River in Ottawa. Thank you. Thank you. And I guess we're still having some, White Rose Society streaming troubles. They seem to be almost constant now. But maybe it'll resolve so folks can get tuned in a short while. Oh, hi. Merry, happy, joyous holiday. I'm Bob Kincaid. And, today, like I said, it was quiet. I didn't fix any big Christmas dinner. I didn't do any, really, of our Christmas traditions. But later, long about noon, I jumped in the car and drove about it's about 93.4 miles. And went and picked up Agnes and Margie. And got back here about, 45 minutes ago. 50 minutes ago. So that it was just a nice little Christmas Day ride together. You know what? All kidding aside, not that I was kidding. Going out and just driving around a little bit on Christmas Day is kind of neat, because everything's pretty much come to a standstill for the one day a year that it does. You know, the cops were still on the beat, and I guess the folks at the volunteer fire department were, you know, available as needed. The EMS crews were on standby. Folks were still working in hospitals and emergency rooms. But the fact of the matter is, in parking lot after parking lot, malls, shopping centers, at McDonald's, Walmart, it was empty. You know, I grew up in an era when there were still blue laws. And blue laws meant that you couldn't be open on Sunday. Because, well, of course, you know, that was, it was the state enforcing religious doctrine. And there were blue laws all over the country. Well, those have largely fallen away, and Sunday is as busy a day as any other day. But on Christmas, that one day, the stores are shuttered, the doors are locked, the parking lots are empty. I mean, no pizza, no Taco Hell. No clown burgers or little red-haired pigtailed girl burgers or no subs, no grinders, no shopping, no groceries, no nothing. And in this particular instance, a blanket of white lay over it all. And it was moving. It reminded me for a moment what a profound thing it would be if, in order to exercise its power, the working people of this country just set everything down and stayed home for a few days and let the powers that be understand who really, really has the wherewithal to determine what goes and what does not. And like I said, it was about 94 miles over, 94 miles back. Very little traffic. Up at the top of Big Powell Mountain, elevation 2,276 feet. It was something. It was like something out of Courier and Ives. Trees were still covered, hanging with snow. Snow blanketed the ground. And there was even a blanket of snow on what passes for a reclaimed, removed mountain. You can still tell it's not a mountain anymore. But in that quiet, a certain beauty. And so we got back. I got the best Christmas gift a guy could get. I get to be with my beloved wife this evening. And for a few days before she goes back. And so, you know, I cherish that. I truly, truly do. Here in a little bit, we're going to fire up the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable that is... hold on a minute. We're going to fire up the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable that is the on the front porch aspect of the program. I had to unzip a little bit because the televangelist mic was apparently rubbing against the my coat. I put a bottle of gas on as soon as we got in here, and I can proudly announce that I have the temperature here in the fabulous Horn Studio up to a toasty 48.7 degrees. Now that thermometer's hanging about a foot and a half down from the ceiling, so I'm guessing it's probably a couple of degrees cooler down here closer to the floor. But I'm warm as toast. I'm warm as toast because Patagonia makes wonderful warming clothing. And it works as advertised. That's, of course, a non-paid product placement, but I have no problem recommending Patagonia to any and all. Patagonia.com, because they do things for a corporation, they do things with a surprising degree of ethics and, dare I say, morality. Anybody who's willing to stand up against Geezer Disgustus in his desperate attempt to destroy our public lands is deserving of my support and my recommendation. And it doesn't hurt that their stuff is extremely high quality. So there's that. Thank you, Jack, for your holiday wish. Jack says, glad you're on. Head on .live, good. White Rose, neither high nor low bandwidth, working as of 5 minutes after. Sorry about that. I hope it'll resolve. Now, as I said, this is going to be a fundraising-free broadcast week, and I'm excited about that. It is a gift unto itself for me not to have to do that. On the other hand, however, we do have thanks to send out because we have subscribers. Asa, for instance, is a subscriber. Thank you. Thank you, Asa, for your help. With a note, Bob's one of the finest broadcasters going. I always learn so much when I tune in. I laugh and I cry. Hopefully you laugh more than you cry. Thank you, Asa. And thank you to Kay in California. Thank you so much, Kay, for being part of the merry little band of that someday may be all the way up to, say, 400 people at $10 a month. Who knows? And thank you to our buddy Charlie in Tennessee. Charlie jumped in. Thank you, Charlie. Thanks to Pam in Washington. Thank you, Pam. And thank you to Jason in California. Thank you very kindly. And finally, thanks very much to our buddy Philip in Maryland, and to Stacy in Pennsylvania. Thank you, Stacy. Thanks to Brenda in Washington. Thank you, Brenda. And thank you to Joyce in Washington. These are the subscribers for the 23rd, 24th, and 25th of the month. And you have the my undying thanks and the thanks of the community because you do so much to help make it possible for this program to continue from day to day, week to week, month to month, and year to year. And, well, hey, now decade to decade, we're in our second decade of broadcasting without ever having had to run a single sleazy, skeevy ad for anybody who makes bombs to kill brown people or any of that filth. On the other hand, however, I should note that, before we get into the meat of Friday on the Front Porch, and remember, if you want to be part of Friday on the Front Porch, you need to send a contact request on Skype to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc, if you never have before. If you have, he'll just bring you into the conversation. Wow, Ralphs, you know what? I'm not feeling so sorry for myself. Ralph says, Bob, it's 8 degrees in Milwaukee. I can only imagine what the studio would be like if it was 8 degrees outside. Well, I'll find out later this week because we're going to get 10. But, yeah. Those weren't really ads. I recall ads at the beginning of the program. Those weren't really ads because we were never compensated for them. That was a group that apparently, or promised that they made American, they had American-made apparel. And, yeah, we ran ads for them and never got paid. So they don't count. Let's see. But we've never run an ad for anybody that didn't meet some sort of standard, even if it wasn't, getting paid. So anyway, if you want to be part of Friday on the Front Porch and you've never done it before, send a contact request on Skype to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc, Sparky Dunk, and we'll get that fired up sooner rather than later. Let me see what's going on here. And I just got a note from Sparky. Now, don't use the call button. You send an IM in Skype, a contact request. You don't just call in. That throws everything into chaos. Yeah, it is Christmas on the Front Porch. Did I say Friday? Oops. Well, things will be confused until we get January going, rather than just sort of cruising along and get out of the holidays, because I've been pretty sure this was Sunday all day, but it's not. It's Monday. And rub it in. Sure, thanks. Scott and Punky enjoying sunny, clear, and 68 degrees in San Diego. Mm-hmm. So it won't be like that for a while here now. We're about 90 days away from spring. But that's okay. So anyway, we'll get that started here in a little bit. But before we do get into the full magnificent majesty of Christmas on the Front Porch, I want to let you know that this evening's broadcast is brought to you in part by our scientific geniuses friends at Horn Nutraceutical Laboratories. Yes, Horn Nutraceutical Laboratories. It's really something special. Anyway, let me ask you this. Yeah, just a few questions. Are you a member of the forlorn credulity cabal, are you? With an undying admiration for the soft, cuddly, snuggly, huggable bear who's occupied the halls of the Kremlin since December the 31st, 1999, and whose government today declared that it is actually illegal to run against him for president of the Russian Federation? Do you suffer from delusions of an eminent apokarev resulting from the appointment of a despotic diploid to the highest office in the land? Are you looking for something that might help you do away with the headaches of having to live with political and societal realities and take you away to a phantasmagorium where unicorns run wild and free, completely divorced from anything resembling reality? Oddly enough, there are people who can do that with no help whatsoever. Are you a 50-something self-styled Southern liberal talk host on the verge of complete alopecia due to pulling your hair out every time you spot the anus-mouth elected official on television? Well, have no fear, dear friends. As you're sitting around the dinner table sniffing on that pseudo-scientific bullshit that's wafting across the table from your conspiracy theorist cousin, Todd, this Christmas, take a deep breath. Letting go now. Yeah. Take a deep breath. Remember to embrace the power of HIV positive thinking. And allow us to introduce you to Kleptonic Candy Cane, or KKK for short, from Horn Nutraceutical Lavatories. That's right, Kleptonic Candy Cane is made from 100% certified organic cage-free Nambian Covfefe harvested from the highlands of deepest, darkest Africa using 100% slave labor. With the active ingredient equivalent to that of 11 saw palmetto capsules, Kleptonic Candy Cane is guaranteed to completely numb your senses to those last frayed ends of reality that you may be hanging on to. It now comes with double the pressure for your pleasure, and it's even guaranteed to give you a raging boner the last right through the kingdom come. Kleptonic Candy Cane also goes well with pepper minge patties. And due to popular demand from the credulity cabal and other various and sundry faithful, Kleptonic Candy Cane now ships in very stylish 5-gallon pails, which can be used as furniture once the apokarev is upon us. And you know what? Since they're plastic, they also make great impromptu drums. Once the apokarev is upon us and you're done applying the bucket's delicious contents using our handy applicator, and unlike other similar doomsday slop bucket products on the market, you don't need to add any hot water in order to apply Kleptonic Candy Cane. Just unwrap and dry insert. But that's not the extent of the usefulness of our handy-dandy 5-gallon buckets. Oh, no. Every bucket of Kleptonic Candy Cane ships with a porta-potty conversion kit, so you can use our stylish 5-gallon pails as portable shitters in case the one in Cousin Eddie's RV is backed up. We guarantee that you're going to love Kleptonic Candy Cane. If you don't, just hang on to the empty bucket, and we'll hang on to your money. But wait, there's more. Due to overwhelming demand from the faithful on this holiest of days, we're introducing the Horn Nutraceutical Labs Supplement Subscription Program Plan. Bit wordy, maybe, but don't try it until you've knocked it. That's correct, a subscription plan for all your bullshit nutritional supplemental needs. You see, a measly one-time purchase of a supplement doesn't put a pissant's worth of a dent in our budget numbers for the Horn Ministries fleet of private jets, the Maybach, the indoor saltwater pool, and the alligators with frickin' laser beams on their heads. Therefore, we're now introducing this unprecedented, never-done-before nutritional supplement subscription program plan. Just give us your credit card number once, and we'll keep charging it every month until either you go broke or we run out of buckets, whichever comes first. Moreover, to make purchases of bullshit nutritional supplements even more enticing for the hard cases and the dead-enders, we're rolling out our frequent fumbler points. For every additional 5-gallon bucket you purchase every month, we'll award 50 frequent fumbler points. Once you've accumulated 1,000 of these frequent fumbler points, you can cash them in for one shiny handcrafted diddly squat. Yes, that's right. Your mass accumulation of Horn Nutraceuticals frequent fumbler points will be every bit as ignoble as the fantastic contents that ship in our stylish 5-gallon buckets of Kleptonic Candy Cane. And if you order during the course of today's Christmas on the Front Porch, well, we'll include not two, but one bundle of keto alkaline urine and stool test strips. Once you've applied the business end of the Kleptonic Candy Cane as illustrated in the directions pamphlet, just wait 10 minutes and then use our keto alkaline test strips to prove the breadth of our bullshit supplements as well as the depth of your own dupability to all your family members gathered around the Christmas dinner table. As a bonus, if you choose to order more than one bucket of Kleptonic Candy Cane at once, we'll include the shipping and handling costs on a separate bill, so you'll be duped into thinking that you got free shipping. Allow 68 weeks for divinity. Hurry before supplies last. Call center employees in Bangalore are making sweet below poverty wages waiting for you to call in and place your Kleptonic Candy Cane order. Plus, tweet us at Horn Labs with the hashtag We See You Coming From Three Paces Away to win your very own holiday edition Kleptonic Candy Cane Guilt Basket. You'll be willing and able. That's A-B-E-L, able. With Kleptonic Candy Cane. Accept no substitutes, post no bills. Nothing to fear but fear itself. Objects may look larger than they appear. FOB, COD, MSNBC, COV, FEFE, WAIKIKI. Kleptonic Candy Cane, only from Horn Nutraceutical Labs. We don't care, and it shows. And so now, we will continue with Christmas on the Front Porch, only from the Horn. Because you can't be a real, live, honest-to-goodness professional radio program unless you've got yourself a bullshit nutritional supplement to hustle each and every program. Kleptonic Candy Cane, Brother Deacon Steve, presently in Ottawa, says, will it help me live to the ripe old age of 111? If it doesn't, and this is the beauty of Kleptonic Candy Cane and all the other products from Horn Nutraceuticals, if it doesn't, you won't know! See? Yeah? Cool? Right? Yeah! It's a beautiful thing. So, there you have it. This evening's special offer from Horn Nutraceuticals. So, that's where we stand at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. What do you want to talk about this evening? It was kind of weird for me because I woke up early. Maybe it's one of those things as I progress into my advancing geezerhood that I just don't sleep as long as I used to. That or maybe it was something about, being asleep by 10 o'clock. But anyway, I woke up early and I realized, because sometimes math just happens inside my head, I realized that it was exactly 30 years ago today that I spent my first grown-up, working, adult Christmas away from home. I was 24 years old. I had recently become the youngest person ever to deliver a worldwide, or anchor a worldwide radio newscast. I was working at CNN. And I had to work on Christmas Day. And it wasn't particularly mopey. Had a job to do. For some reason or other, it's fixed in my memory because that was the year that the West Virginia Mountaineers squared off on Christmas Day in the Sun Bowl against the Oklahoma State Cowboys, and in a fashion that can only be appreciated by a West Virginia University fan, someone who lived through the Nealon years, as only a Don Nealon-coached team could, the Mountaineers managed to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory and lose that game 35-33. I watched it on the CNN sports feed while I was doing the rest of my work, because I didn't work in video, I worked in audio. You know, radio guy. But what was particularly interesting is that there were, it didn't stop. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, there was real news being gathered, being written, and being presented. And what sort of got me thinking about that this morning was the fact that I did what I do every weekday morning. I woke up and I turned on the I turned on my DirecTV Now, and I started scanning the news channels. Well, I mean, there's really only three news channels to scan. There's MSNBC, CNN, and what used to be known as Headline News and is now just called HLN, Highly Laughable Network, I think is what it stands for, because they don't... Headline News used to be this thing where they do news just, you know, real bang, 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 bang in 30-minute blocks. But apparently that wasn't good enough for the gang up there at AOL Time Warner. AOL. But, you know, we had, I mean, news happens. News happens on Christmas Day. The world doesn't stop because 1.2 billion people observe a particular calendar date as being important. By the way, December 25th is also the birthday of the 10th guru in the Sikh religion. I think the name of the holiday is, one would wish someone a happy Gurparab, or Guparab. But if we've got any Sikhs in the Horn Family Community Congregation, I hope you've had a lovely day. I am resistant toward using the traditional phrase for this day, the traditional greeting for this day, because now that we have to, now that we've got a monstrosity in the White House who used to say happy holidays on Twitter all the time until he decided it was good, it was politically expedient to make the rubes think that he actually gave a damn about Christmas and that he would be the, well, you know, he hasn't won any other wars, but he can at least claim victory in the war on Christmas, right? Well, I'm not going to use that phrase. Not going to. Until such time as he is no longer in the White House, by whatever means. So that's why I said I hope you had a joyous, I hope everyone had a joyous, merry day. Rest ye merry. Rest ye merry. Yeah, oldie English. Actually, modern English. It's just sort of a archaic form. But anyway, there was news being gathered, news being reported. But when I got up this morning, and I don't expect millionaires like Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski and maybe almost a millionaire. What's his name? Barnacle and who's the young guy? Anyway, I don't expect them to come to work on Christmas. That's why you get those $1 million jobs, so you don't have to work on Christmas. But it was at least 2 hours before I saw anything that wasn't canned either there or at CNN. And headline news was running, this back to back, this is life with Lisa Ling or something. Now, I'm not silly enough to go over and see what they're doing at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. But I'm guessing they were in the can, too. Canned as in pre-recorded, not in the can as in... Let's not get into the gutter on Christmas night, okay? But I thought about what a change has been wrought in the 24-hour news cycle since Ted Turner invented it. Because it's 30 years today for me from when I was involved in it. And CNN wasn't much older than that, maybe 35, 36. And it has evolved. Unfortunately, what it evolved into is entertainment. So that at some point today, CNN was running its not an award-winning series, Finding Jesus. I haven't seen it. I guess it's a little like Where's Waldo? I don't know. But actual news is hard to come by. And, you know, what I do here is not necessarily journalism. What I do here is opinion stuff. It's taking a look at the news and expressing, not just me, but y'all expressing an opinion about it. But there is a value to straight reporting. And a whole lot of the cable news cycle, well, there's precious little of it to be found, really. Yeah, Guardian or BBC. Well, BBC America is not much different, not much better. Guardian, I didn't know the Guardian had a television network. But it really has changed a lot, and not for the better. Not by a long shot. Now, it was, what, last night, night before last, that the Caratine Caligula finally admitted the real purpose of the tax scam, speaking to a bunch of swells down at Mar-a-Lago. He said, "And you all just got a lot richer, believe me, a lot richer." In which they immediately wildly applauded. But at least, you know, sort of the rubber mask is off where that's concerned. We were treated this morning to puff pieces like a woman who once helped trim a Christmas tree in the dim leader administration, explaining what a marvelous, marvelous, lovely job Melanoma Trump has done with the White House decorations, you know, especially her hall of midnight Christmas horror, if you saw the photographs. But not a lot of news this morning. And bless their hearts, they try so hard. The CBS News app online, that you can just, you know, they'll just let you watch their news. I got an alert saying that they were carrying live the Ad Urbe address by Pope Frank from Vatican Square. I thought, well, you know, I still disagree with a whole bunch of the, you know, silly dogma and doctrine and teaching. But he does represent a certain moral force. So I clicked. And poor CBS News, at least, I guess they couldn't afford the English translation. Because, yeah, I could see Pope Frank standing there speaking. Obviously, he wasn't speaking English. But we didn't get the English translation from CBS News either. No, we got the French. Which was great, I guess, if you are fluent in French. I'm not. And, you know, I can pick out a noun here and there. Maybe the occasional verb. Probably be hard-pressed to tell you what the tense was or the number. Or the person. So that was kind of a fail. I read up on it later when I got up and got moving around. It was a pretty stirring rebuke, although it could have been more so, of the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini. Because, among other things, Pope Frank, in his address, said that Israel and Palestine need to be separate countries, independent of each other, and that the world, including presumably the United States, because we still haven't built that wall, and now with the with our revenues heading for the crapper, one wonders where we will find the money to... Oh, that's right, Mexico's going to pay for it. Ha 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 ha. Right. Among other things, Frank pointed out or addressed the Trump administration decision to move the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And in an entirely fawning and obsequious and embarrassing decision, our BFF ally, Guatemala, also declared that they too would be moving their embassy to Jerusalem today. That was nice, doing that on Christmas, I thought. But Pope Frank took issue with both those things. He also compared 22 million refugees presently in states of displacement on this little planet. He compared them to Joseph and Mary. And suggested that it's not exactly Christian to shit on refugees, being as how, well, Mary and Joseph were some. This comes on the heels of Trump's announcement that he wants to prevent all Haitians, any Haitians, from coming to the United States because they all have AIDS. I wish I was kidding. I'm not. We can't let the Haitians come to the United States anymore because they all have AIDS. When did we, because we kind of did, we at one point we sort of stopped referring to AIDS and started making reference to HIV. Is Marcus Aurelius's brain stuck in the late 80s? Or is that what the spirochetes have dialed him back to? Not entirely certain. But I'm being told here we admitted fewer refugees in 2017 so far than any year in the past 15 years. Yay us! My, aren't we just the Christian nation? Yeah. No, we're not. So, it has not been a completely uneventful Christmas Day. And we'll find out what sort of events captured your fancy in a short while. Here in a very few minutes, as a matter of fact. But it seems like there's always at least one awful story that comes with the holiday season. I mean, we've had several, but one awful domestic story, let's put it that way. And for my money, no money, this year the story comes from Virginia. It happened in the wee hours of December 22nd. Buckley Coon Fricker, 43 years old, was, and well, there's the first tip, was an activist. And she was deeply concerned with social justice. Her particular specialty as an activist was in addressing the needs of the elderly. Well, she and her husband, Scott, had a daughter. And her daughter a teenager, a child, had gotten involved with another teenager, and the boy that she got involved with is a Nazi. A no-kidding neo-Nazi of the type that we have a lot more of in the United States that up until fairly recently many people were willing to admit or acknowledge. The two young people had been dating since June, but after a while, the young woman began to blather neo-Nazi talking points. She'd say things like, World War II was caused by the Jewish population of Europe. The boy had a predilection for retweeting Hitler praise and supporting the book burnings perpetrated by the Nazis. He tweeted about white revolution and some stuff that was just straight up anti-Semitic. But not wanting to pigeonhole himself, he had also tweeted an image of a noose underneath an anti-gay slur. Mrs. Kuhn-Fricker showed the principal at the high school the materials. And she went so far as to ask the boy's mother to keep him away from their daughter. She said that we can't allow her to see someone associated with Nazis. We don't associate with hate groups in our house. Well, in the early morning hours of December 22nd, the boy murdered Mr. and Mrs. Kuhn-Fricker in Reston, Virginia. And the boy also tried to kill himself, but of course, being a screw-up and a Nazi, he managed to not be able to do that job. Remember, Nazis are, at the end of the day, cowards. And so the kid's in the hospital, and a teenage girl is now an orphan. Because he's a juvenile, they're not releasing his name. Now, what the boy was doing in the wee early morning hours in the girl's bedroom, I don't know. The parents had insisted upon them breaking up. But he had gotten into her room and brought a gun with him. How damn sad. One wonders if he will, he's in critical condition. He may not survive. But one wonders how the case would be handled, if he would be treated as an adult by the Commonwealth of Old Virginia, or if he'll be treated as a juvenile. Now, had the kid been African American, we wouldn't be asking that question. Because it would be a foregone conclusion that, well, he would either be dead. Well, he wouldn't be a Nazi. B, he'd probably be dead, and if not dead, certainly treated as an adult. Sheesh. Lots more than that to talk about, really, though, if you want to. Like I said, we're going to do a front porch conversation this evening. do not just dial Sparky. Don't just call Sparky Dunk. Send a contact request first. And then he'll bring you into the group. Okay? So, let's take a break and see who wants to participate. And see where, and just see where the, where the program takes us from there. Shall we? Yes. Okay. This is Conversation Radio, a special live Christmas night broadcast. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. My, that was invigorating, wasn't it? Yes. Sorry, having some technical issues here, so I was rather, well, just sort of, yeah. Give me a second. All right, well, it is Christmas on the front porch, and it took, for some reason or another, there was trouble connecting, but finally made it. Let's see here. Yeah. Oh, program reminder, just so folks won't forget. Tomorrow evening, assuming we get everything connected all properly, and I don't know why we wouldn't. The program will only be 2 hours, from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, because then I'll take the third hour and turn around and reboot and retool and set everything up, because at 9 p.m. I'll be filling in for Malloy from 9 to 11 p.m. And I hope you'll join in over at Progressive Voices. So just, you know, make a note of it. Again, if you want in on the front porch, feel free, and we'll see where the conversation takes us. Just send a contact request, if you never have before, send a contact request on Skype to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc, Sparky Dunk. I was just checking the tweet from @HornLabs. Hey, no worries. No worries, Trey in Kentucky Stan. No worries at all. So let's run over to the Skype line, and hopefully everything is working well. Are you there, Sparky?
Yeah, I'm here, just waiting on you.
Okay, well, great. That was, I don't know why it wouldn't connect, so, but you know, at least we are connected now, so that's a good thing. So just another day in Northern California, right?
Well, it was a lot warmer day. It was 65 degrees. Was 65 this afternoon. Now the sun is starting to go down, and it'll get colder. But it's a clear day. I can see the top of Mount Shasta through the trees. And
oh, nice.
Lassen with a little bit of snow on it. I think it's going to be a drought year again. Everybody's talking about it.
I was going to say, in ordinary circumstances, you would expect to see more snow.
Yeah, like last year we had December.
Oh, yeah. Well, last year almost felt like normal, didn't it?
Yeah, if there is a normal now.
Well, that's true. That's true, too.
Everything changes from year to year.
Well, I wonder. You broke up a little bit there. I'm beginning to wonder if maybe the if the fine folks at Frontier decided to take the night off or something. Because, well, I hope not. Hopefully, this will all hold together. I had a couple of notes, both from Alma and Kelly, who enjoyed the bumper there. That was that wasn't the Mannheim Steamroller. That was the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. And the track is called The Mad Russian's Christmas. I enjoy it, too. It's a metalized take on Tchaikovsky, something like that. Yeah, I've decided here, Sparky, since we didn't do any big Christmas dinner, and since I will not be on the air for Monday, New Year's Day, the big feast will be Sunday into Monday, because well, we'll all be together, and it'll be colder than hell, but at least I can get warm standing around the smoker. And do a brisket and some cabbage and probably make some cornbread. Who knows what else? Should be tasty.
Well, we had our big feast on Friday night.
Oh yeah,
because
you had company coming.
Well, my stepson, his wife, and then my daughter-in-law's son and his wife, and then a 3-year-old little girl.
Aw. So what hit the table?
No shit hit the table.
No.
She was fine. She loved it here.
No. What went on the table?
Oh,
what,
food?
Yeah.
Oh, it was a turkey. She cooked a turkey the night before and brought it over.
Oh, nice.
And then we just heated it up, and I made mashed potatoes and had some green beans, and it was she just made stovetop stuffing to go with it, and then they had some cranberry sauce. And I mean, they all took some too much, I guess, and then Grady ended up with a bowl full of stuff, but found out Grady doesn't like cranberry sauce.
So did Grady just eat around the cranberry sauce, or?
Yeah, he ate everything around it left, just left the cranberry sauce in chunks.
All right, mister, you're not leaving this dog dish until you've cleaned out your dish, you hear me? Yeah. Woof. Yeah, it doesn't work with dogs that way.
So I got Brian, and I got him to clean out. Here, clean out your dog's dish for once. But he's been having fun around here. Got chased by a remote control car this morning.
I'm sure he just loved that.
My little minion across the street, Mason, has got two of them for Christmas.
I was going to ask if your minion came over.
Oh, he came over and brought me a Christmas present.
Aw, bless his heart.
Some tools from Sheffield. There's like a razor knife holder in there, a little mini flashlight, and then one of those all-in-one plier things that flips over and flips in and you can put it in your pocket. It's got a bottle opener, a screwdrivers, knife blades, Phillips screwdriver, everything you need on the other end. You just flip it out. And flip it in, you got yourself a screwdriver. And anyway, it was a good gift. I mean, I got plenty of tools.
Yeah, but that sounds like a handy little device.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, today, our little local Chinese buffet wasn't even open. That tells you something.
Not many Jewish people around.
I guess, yeah. So, yeah.
I had some Chinese food last night. Hey, y'all.
Hey, Bilbo Rick, what's happening?
Merry whatever, right?
Well, happy joyous day. As long as, you know.
Happy joyous solstice. Merry solstice and happy new year, I guess, right?
Are you still in the car?
Yeah, I just got to my friend's house down in Orange County. I'm going to have dinner with her and brought her gift, her son a gift. I brought her some, like a dozen kind of pinkish roses and got as a gift a Game of Thrones bottle of red wine. It's the official Game of Thrones red wine. I think it's somewhere in Healdsburg, California. You familiar with it? No, it's Hopland, California. You familiar with that, Sparky? Hopland?
Oh, yeah.
Is that somewhere in Napa or Sonoma Valley? I'm not sure.
You remember Italian Swiss colony wine?
Yeah, I think so.
He used to have a winery there.
Oh, okay.
I used to go over and spend summers on a ranch in Ukiah when I was about 11, 12 years old. 2 weeks
okay.
over the summer. And
right.
We went on a winery tour there one time. I can never forget my dad. All the adults just going nuts tasting all the wine.
Oh, I'm sure. Now, Ukiah is quite a ways north of you, like almost near the Oregon border, isn't it, or not?
No, Ukiah is south and west of me.
Oh. Okay, well, so much for my knowledge.
You know where Santa Rosa is now.
Right, okay, it's that near there, okay, yeah.
It's just,
okay.
Ukiah is the next big town north of Santa Rosa, Highway 101.
Okay, and Santa Rosa is like northeast of San Francisco, right, is it not, more or less? Or is it more east of San Francisco?
No, more north of San Francisco.
North of San Francisco, okay, got it, okay. So I'm going to be celebrating the Christmas down with my friend Star and her son. And my son, he could have gone. It would have been his second Christmas celebration because he got up early this morning. Actually, he stayed up all night. He was trading some cryptocurrency and was worried about an investment that he made. And he lost a good amount of money on it. And so he didn't get any sleep and went down to visit his cousins in Temecula. And he got back just as I was leaving to go down to Stars, and so he was he wasn't up for another road trip in the same day. You know?
Okay, so let me ask a stupid question based on something you just said.
Okay.
If you lose cryptocurrency, have mm-hmm. you actually lost anything?
Yes, to the extent that the cryptocurrency had a value in U.S. dollars before the loss, yes, you've lost it.
But I mean, do you spend money to get it?
Yes, you do. You spend real dollars to buy a certain cryptocurrency, and then the IRS treats it as property. So every time, you know, they don't treat it as like currency, they treat it as property. So if you have a gain on the sale of that, if you change, let's say, from Bitcoin to Ethereum, and you make you get a gain on that sale or the transfer of the one cryptocurrency for another, then for tax purposes, you have a gain that you have to report. And it's going to be a nightmare figuring out our taxes.
Oh, brother. Can't you encourage him toward, stamp collecting or something?
Well, maybe foreign currency exchange is something he'd do. Who knows, you know? That would be easier to keep track of.
You've raised an interesting topic on this Christmas evening because there's lots of cryptocurrency news floating around there. And I, of course, I guess there are places that accept Bitcoin.
Is white in your house or is way down here?
House, I'm
home. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I mess it up?
No. Come on. Sit in the car for a little bit, okay?
Oh, yeah. You want me to?
Yeah, sure. Right. You there?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, here. Star's going to sit down. I was out in front of her house here. Yeah, she'll be in here in a second here.
Well, no, I'm just trying to figure out. Okay, so you sit around and you go, I'm a Bitcoin millionaire.
Yeah. Right.
Can you buy a bag of flour with Bitcoin?
Well, strange enough, there are certain places that do take Bitcoin. And there's actually Bitcoin ATMs, if you could believe it. Out here in California anyway, in the LA area.
At some point in time you're going to run afoul of the counterfeiting statutes though, aren't you? I don't mean you.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Mm-mm. No, because you're not claiming it to be U.S. dollars. You're claiming it to be a different medium of exchange. One of the countries that is putting a lot of money into Bitcoin apparently is Dubai, of all places.
Well, of course.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I'm on a radio program here, Star. Yeah. Say hi.
Hi, Star.
Hi.
Bob Kincaid. He's a good guy from West Virginia.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, Star.
Yeah.
How are you? Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry, happy, joyous day. Almost. Yeah.
Almost gotcha. He's not using Merry Christmas because Trump has
Trump over. by whatever means exits the White House.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you said Orange County. So did you like to have to stop at the county line and swear allegiance to Republicans and Trump and stuff?
No.
Well, you know, there's a lot of Republicans in Orange County, right?
Oh, yeah. When hillbillies like me know about Orange County and Republicans, you know, the secret's pretty well out.
Well, you know, it's not as bad as it used to be, because you now do have like representatives like Loretta Sanchez.
Yes.
And
And
what is her sister's name?
Yes, I forget, but I went to
Linda Sanchez.
I went to a luncheon with, and I met her. These Democrats.
Yeah. Oh, Loretta?
Yes, I met her. She's Hispanic and from L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I went to Long Beach to a luncheon or a brunch or whatever. About 1 year ago, before the election, before all that was going on. Oh, what a mess. Yeah, I met a lot of Democrats.
She was running for the Senate then, wasn't she?
Yes, she was.
Okay, against Kamala Harris.
Yep.
And she came in second.
Yep. Smart, great gal.
Yeah.
Yeah, she got up there. I heard her speech.
Yeah, so, I mean, she's probably... As far as the purity goes, she's probably not quite as pure as Kamala.
Wait. What are you talking about? Kamala Harris is not ideologically pure by a long shot. I mean, she's been known to be in the same room with the devil.
Hillary?
Yeah, and like spoke to her as though she was a human being and stuff. So, yeah,
amazing.
Of course, Kamala went way, 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 way down in my estimation when she joined all the other Christian ladies and the one Buddhist lady in shiving Al Franken.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I wonder if that's going to backfire on them. It very well may among the, Democratic primary voters, you know. Both Gillibrand and Kamala, because they're both running for president, as we know.
Well, they're certainly both trying to create name recognition via social media. I see plenty of it.
Yeah, exactly.
And depending on who or what, like I said, after that nasty bit of business, what's going to be fun is when they have to go after each other.
Right.
True.
Right. Yeah, right. One will go after...
I hated Al Franken more. No, you didn't. I hated him more.
Well, Gillibrand will get some grief for her past positions on gun control when she was...
She was just
a representative.
Yeah, she used to talk about, back when she was in the House of Representatives, how, you know, she kept a gun, two guns under her bed because she wanted to defend her family.
Exactly.
Because remember, the Appalachians run all the way to Maine, and baby, there's some hillbilly in New York. Oh, yes, there is.
Well, there are. Isn't that the Adirondacks, though, the Appalachian Range in New York, or not?
Well, yeah, it's, I don't know, do the Poconos
the
extend into New York, too? The Catskills?
It's all
the Appalachians.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, that's the greater name of the mountain range, I guess, the Appalachians. Okay, Appalachians, or... Appalachians, or I'm not saying it right.
Yeah, just say my grandmother said Appalachian, so there's no agreed upon common pronunciation, but around here it's Appalachia. Okay. Appalachia.
Okay. So what's your weather like there, Bob?
Freezing my tuchus off, Rick.
Seriously, what's the temperature in the studio there?
thanks to the bottle of gas that I put on as soon as we got home. I've got it up to 53 degrees in here.
Well, that's good. It's actually a little bit of chilly 70 degrees here in L.A.
It was 40 when I started. It's 25.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's 25 outside.
Well, at least the cats leave you alone, I imagine, when it gets cold in your studio, right?
They're not allowed in here.
I know that.
Yeah. It's a bit much to explain, but the door to the studio, the house is 80 years old this year.
Okay.
So's the door.
You've got me beat by about 20 years, Bob, as far as the age of my house.
Oh, okay. I didn't know you were 60. But,
41.
But the cats have learned that if they body slam the door, and they do.
Okay.
It's enough to make you think, that, intruder alert, Will Robinson. First couple of times it happened, Agnes and I were like, whoop, up out of the bed. Ball bat, butcher knife, ready to go.
Oh, my God.
But it was the cats bulldogging the door. And they, as a matter of fact, I guess Ferg came back here late last night or something after I'd gone to bed. And, get a bottle of gas or whatever. And forgot to put the little toolbox that we use to block the door, because see, the cats don't have thumbs yet, so they're
right.
But he'd forgotten to put the toolbox back in front of the door, so they'd body slammed it open. And there's a pair of French doors into the studio. There's a mudroom and then the studio area. This was all the enclosed back porch once upon a time. And there's a French door that just stands open, and the little black cat was sitting, and the door is not 2 inches wide, and she was sitting up on top of that like the Cheshire freaking cat, like she was really proud of herself, and I haven't yet figured out how she got up there. And I looked at her, and I said, what do you think you're doing? and I got the silly human look from her. So I picked her up and put her back into the house. And then I walked around the corner, and there sits Mushu, the Siamese cat. And she's sitting on the back of the old broadcast chair with one paw just sort of demurely crossed across the other. And I said, well, you're supposed to know better. That the other one's just a kid. But you're supposed to know better. And she just looked at me and went, meow. And I said, you. And I just pointed and said, you too. And she jumped off the chair and ran into the house. They know. But I.
Yeah, they just.
We dodged one in this case because they did not decide to, as is their wont, tap dance on the mixing desk and thereby reprogram the entire thing. So that's why, I'm on air this evening because of that. So that's my wonderful, exciting, adventurous life. I got a feeling since we're going to get down to 10 later this week. I got a feeling it's going to be a long propane winter. Because, I can get about 4 hours out of one of these little bottles if it's on low. It's like 2 hours if I crank it up to high. And the only way I could ever get it up to like 60, 70 degrees in here would be to just burn propane nonstop. And, we don't have the budget for that. Not by a long shot. So, at least... No, go ahead, Sparky.
I'm going to have to fire up my jet here in a few minutes. Sun is going down, so it gets cold quicker.
Well, I wouldn't... that's the thing. If I had one of those, I don't think I could even use it in a space as small as this, but I don't think I could crank up the limiter enough and the noise gate to... keep that out of the process.
No. I don't think she could. Oh, we lost Rick with Texas. Bessie's here.
Well, jump right in.
Howdy. How are you?
I'm well.
How's it going?
Freezing, but, yeah. We'll get through.
I was going to complain about being cold, but I can't do that anymore.
No, not no. We, I think I, uh, Well, Ralph's owns it so far at 8 degrees in Milwaukee, so.
Yeah, but I'm warm-blooded, so.
Oh, but by the same token, this is a wet 25 versus what I imagine is probably a fairly dry 8. I'm not sure who's colder.
Well, it depends on whether or not she has a heater, I would imagine.
Yeah, and you really can't say enough about insulation.
Yes.
This studio is not particularly well insulated, and there's of course no duct work. It's not so difficult to keep it cool in the summer because there's a window unit air conditioner, but heat in the winter is a bear.
Yeah, I bet. Do you remember when my fifth grade class called you?
Oh yes, I do. I do remember that well.
I was thinking about that when you were talking about the cats, because you were shooing cats away from the studio that day.
It happens.
Students wanted to talk to you more about cats than about renewable energy.
Well, who doesn't? I mean, the internet is, among other things, you know, there's a lot more cats than any other thing on the internet, I presume, still.
Probably.
So what grade would they be in now?
God, they'd be like 10th, I think.
Wow. Just amazing.
Yeah. I've been at this school for, I'm in my fifth year at this school. So, and that was one school previous.
That's astonishing.
Yeah. So I think those kids are in 10th. Got a kid recently who came from that school. And as soon as I saw her grades and the name of her previous school, I immediately tested her math and writing skills. Which is not fair, but...
No, but they'd be suspect, right?
They're very suspect. Yeah, that school was awful. Every single day I was there, I assumed I was going to be fired. Like there was a 50% chance on any given day that I'd get fired that day.
It's no good way to work.
No, not at all. Much happier at my current school.
So, the Trumpian statement that all Haitians have AIDS.
Oh, God. So I don't have any Haitian students, but can I tell you what an increase in ethnic, racial, religious bullying we've had in the last year and a half?
Please do.
It's awful. I don't think I have a single Muslim kid who has not been a victim of something. There are mostly Hispanic 7th grade boys, I don't know why, walking around who, when they see one of my students, pretend to open their hoodie or their jacket and look at one of my kids and go, Allahu Akbar.
I mean, when I say, what does that even mean? I don't mean the words. I mean,
it means they're acting like my kids are suicide bombers. They're mimicking a suicide bomber with the jacket. It's happened to 4 different kids this year. I had a girl with a hijab slammed into a locker last spring.
So can you, like,
I've had kids told to go home.
Can you raise a ruckus about it?
It depends. Not on a first offense. On second offense, I am, but there's the admins are not as responsive as I would like them to be. Like, I have one kid where I wrote a referral, an office referral, and it got folded into another office referral that somebody else wrote 2 days later. And I have no evidence that this was brought up to the parents. like when I read how the office processed it, it appears under bullying, but it doesn't, there's no mention.
Well, I asked the question because in the story I had before the top of the hour out of Reston, Virginia, Mama did the right thing. Mama gathered up the evidence and presented it to the school principal. But presumably the kid is underage, or, uh-huh, you know, under 18, but he's a Nazi.
Yeah. I don't think I have any Nazis at school. I think
I know it varies from, you know, district to district and state to state, but what do you do?
I don't know. I mean, there has to be, the school has to take it seriously, number one. The parents have to take it seriously. Kids have to feel like they can report, which that has taken some time. So the girl with the hijab last year, she never reported. What she did was she went to the nurse with a headache. And the nurse asked, you know, it was high allergy season. So, like, you know, are you allergic to anything? Are you this? Da, da, da. And she said, no, it's where my head touched the locker. I'm sorry, what do you mean your head touched the locker? Well, this boy, he doesn't like me wearing a hijab. And every time he sees me, he pushes me. So the office staff, God bless them, one of the secretaries of the office and one of the assistant principals managed to be in that hallway. For her, it was between gym and lunch. Managed to be in that hallway between gym and lunch for the next 2 days, figured out who the kid was. I think he got a day of home suspension and a day of in-school suspension. But at no point did he have to, like what I would do, learn about why Muslim people cover their hair or apologize to
her. Yeah, I was gonna say let's get real bizarre and how about apologizing?
It's funny because the ESL department is the only people in my school who seem to be into that kind of thing. Like, I had a kid who was rude to a sub. And it was a teacher's aide who subbed for me while I was in a meeting. And he was rude to her and refused to go in the hallway when she wanted to talk to him alone and told her the wrong name and whatever. And I texted his parents and I said, he's staying after school today and he's writing an apology letter. And the father was like, good, could I talk to him? I'm like, yes. I gave him the phone. Dad yelled at him. We could hear him clear across the room. Kid wrote a letter of apology and wrote down why what he did was wrong. And then I gave the apology to the sub. But that's not the norm in my school. The idea that what we do about something is try to make it right is absolutely not the norm. I thought that was like a natural...
Is this a result of some sort of system evolving and they just don't know? Because, I mean, I remember a time when, oh God, geezer time, you know, two of my classmates get in a fight and it's just two little white boys, okay? And I'm not pointing at it. I'm just saying, you know, it's about as Alabama as you can get. And the principal, I mean, it's not Leave It to Beaver or anything, but the principal has him in his office. You two apologize to each other and shake hands like young men. And then I guess what, that's too much now?
There's 1,500 kids, three assistant principals, and one principal. And each of the assistant principals is also in charge of one or two departments, as well as discipline, as well as their whole, you know, grade level. And I don't think that they give enough time to this. I don't think they give enough thought to this.
I'm sorry, that just kind of blows my mind, because it seems like if you're not giving enough thought to this, the rest of the educational process is sort of by the boards if you can't be safe, right?
Yeah, well, we lost a principal who had the interim position and was not asked to stay on. In fact, she had to leave in the middle of the semester when they gave the principal job to the guy who's there now. But she talked a lot about kids don't learn and kids don't grow if they're not safe with each other and with us. And she talked about that as a baseline.
And just to reiterate, you're in what most people would consider to be a fairly liberal area.
I'm in a liberal area, and I'm in basically an upper middle class school, by and large. Not my students, but the school as a whole.
So what does this mean for, shall we say, Trumpier school districts?
I don't think Trumpier school districts are protecting their Muslim kids at all. We had two kids move. Well, we've had five kids move. Two families moved back. They are now living in one-bedroom apartments because the parents said, no, our kids' education matters more than where we sleep. And so because apartments are expensive in this neighborhood, they're in one bedroom, but they moved back.
What a hell of a choice.
It's a hell of a choice. But both of these, the girl, I don't know, because I didn't know her before. Both of these boys, both Iraqi, came back different. They came back less engaged in school, less engaged with, less committed to learning.
And it goes almost without saying, but can't. You wouldn't expect this to happen in, say, Canada.
I don't know. I mean, I would hope not, but I don't know.
And this, not to countersink the nail or anything, but we're not even to a year of this yet.
No, we're not. But honestly, a lot of this stuff happened before this. The Paris attacks, what was that, 3 years ago? 4 years ago? We had a number of students being called racial names right after that. And, you know, I mean, I remember a Iraqi refugee at the time telling me, Miss, don't they know we're not ISIS? We're here because of ISIS. So I don't think they know that.
And that's not going to be on the standardized test, so there's no reason to teach it, right?
Well,
I mean, that's a little bit sarcastic, but I think there's some truth.
Yeah, we actually don't teach to the test at my school.
Well, wonder of wonders.
Most teachers have not mentioned the STAR test at all and won't until January and won't really push it until March. But we're the exception.
Well, I mean, what you mentioned earlier, that that you've got Hispanic kids doing this, because it all begins in the home.
Yeah.
So that means that a certain amount of ethnic hatred has managed to percolate its way down from white folks into other communities.
Probably.
And that's, that's scary, because if people who are oppressed and frequently oppressed
So there are five can't form boys common who have cause. Done this wow. So far. There are five boys who've done this so far. And at a school that's 15% Hispanic, three of those five are Hispanic. And they're all male.
Are they all buddies?
Nope. Two are.
Well, that, curiouser and curiouser, said Alice.
Yeah. And a number of my Hispanic kids are dealing with other people as well. I mean, are dealing with other issues as well. I've had two kids have parents deported this year. Where twice I have had to sit with a parent and establish an educational custodianship plan. Which is if the parent who's staying, the parent who's staying isn't the only person who the school could communicate with. In both cases, it's an older sibling who is past 18 and can now legally be the contact for the school. And that's something that I've never done before. But
so is it safe to say you expect things to get better, get worse and not better?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I don't see how it gets better. You know, it's... And we had a teacher last... Well, we've had teachers do all sorts of crazy stuff. But we had a teacher last year express her pro-Democrat views in the classroom and nearly get fired in Austin.
This is beginning to sound an smell an awful lot like fascism.
It really is. I also had a teacher accuse to one of her friends that one of my sixth graders last year was in ISIS. And, you know, sent here to learn how to learn English so that he could be a spy for ISIS.
Then what's the remedy?
Well, he got a whole new elective real quick. I decided that he didn't need that class and let's try for music this time or art or something.
But I mean,
not a remedy. That was a quick, I got to deal with this today kind of thing.
So, right. But I mean,
I went to the principal and I have no idea what happened, but the teacher's back this year. Principal's not, oddly enough, but I don't think this is why the principal's not there.
But I mean, big picture, kids that grow into adulthood under situations like this are not people who are going to be healthy members of society.
Bob, there's 60 million unhealthy members of society, I think.
Oh, I'm not gonna debate that. But if we're talking, I mean, is it just abandon hope, all ye who enter here, because nobody can overcome what happens in the home?
Bob, I lost that.
I lost the question. Is it just abandon hope, all ye who enter here, because we can't overcome what happens in the home?
I mean, I think, you know,
I mean, we got,
I wouldn't do
we,
it
we,
if
we,
you,
we,
for
we,
a living.
We got 60 million hard cases and dead enders.
I think people can't overcome what happens in their home. You know, I wouldn't do what I do. I wouldn't open my home to the people I open my home to if I didn't believe that we could, you know, people could overcome their upbringing. But, I mean, we got to get out of the we got to go back to teaching civility. We got to, you know.
Well, it sounds to me
the
like.
The same principal who talked about kids feeling safe also used to say that school culture is what we allow. And I think that's what's missing, is we're allowing expressions of hate. You know, it really is a case of, well, if the president says it, why can't I?
Well, right. No, there's that. And there's just what happens from day to day in the home. I mean, I come back and I know that parents are hard pressed to monitor everything that their kids do on social media. But I come back to the little homicidal Nazi in Virginia.
Yeah.
Whose mama got handed the stuff her boy was doing and saying.
I mean, you remember my son was a total asshole in 8th and 9th grade, and was doing all kinds of stuff, downloading stuff and doing stuff on the internet that was appalling. And I just unplugged him. I mean, I talked to him, but I also unplugged him for a while.
Well, that's...
Parenting.
Well, yeah, I think that's part of it, but I also I don't know. It seems like there needs to be more active intervention inside the schools. I mean, you can't go and do a home visit in 1,500 homes to find out whether Mommy and Daddy are racists or not, or xenophobes, or homophobes, bigots.
Well, actually, you could find out an awful lot about that by the questions that they ask. So our counselor, one of our counselors, told me that she was getting questions about the refugee kids when our program first started. Well, how are they getting here? And I said, well, did you explain to her that there's three different refugee resettlement agencies and two of them have apartment complexes in our zip code? And she's like, well, that wasn't quite what she was asking. I said, well, I know that. And the counselor's response to, you know, well, who are these children and who are these families? Was to say, oh, they're absolutely wonderful. And aren't you glad that our school is so accepting? And would you like to be part of the hospitality committee? And, you know, we could use some more backpacks and, you know, pretend to not understand what it was that the parents were saying. But we know exactly what the parents were saying. I mean, I hear stuff all the time. Honestly, I hear more of it in the Jewish community than I do in the secular community.
How do you mean?
I mean, I sat at Shabbat lunch about a year ago and had a woman who found out what I do for a living say to me, oh, but don't they steal? And I just looked at her and I said, honestly, this is the worst year for erasers ever. I cannot keep an eraser in the basket. Like, that's not what she meant, but I knew that's what she meant. She also told me how proud she was that she told her children there at the feeder school, at the elementary school, that if they have to work with one of the Muslims, that's okay, but they're not allowed to be friends with them, and they're certainly not allowed to invite them home or go to their houses. And I said, oh, that's just too bad. And she goes, right? I'm like, oh, yeah, what an opportunity are their children are missing to get to know some of the finest young people and to learn about their experiences.
And did, like, the blood all drain out of her face? Or?
No. She told me that she's Israeli and I don't know anything.
Oh, dear.
Oh, my.
I told her hosts that I did not want to be invited to lunch when she was invited to lunch again. Feel free to invite me at another time.
Yeah. Sorry I missed that interloper chat room, Bob.
Oh, that's okay. I spotted it when it came in and was sitting. I had the lightsaber at the ready, Sparky. We had a brief troll intrusion.
Yuck.
Yeah.
Anyway, people say things in front of me that they, you know,
are they just making that assumption based on the fact that, you know, you're there?
Pretty much. It was an Orthodox Jewish friend. She knew I spoke Hebrew. She assumed I had the same prejudices that she did.
By the way, just to lighten things up a little bit, Ferg and I were coming home the other night. We were driving through Beckley. And for people who follow the evangelical industry, you know they're always looking at a new way to make a buck.
Of course.
For instance, there's a church running a coffee shop in Fayetteville that's in direct competition with a traditional, you know, just tax-paying business. Well, apparently it's a thing among the evangelical industry. Because as we were driving through, oh my God, I can't believe it. They had it plastered across they had the name of the place plastered across the exterior of the building. It's a coffee shop. It's in Beckley. And just by the name of it, you know it's being run by some godforsaken church. And I mean that not just ironically, but, you know.
Yeah.
The name of the coffee shop is HEBREWS.
Hebrews.
And Ferg and it was night and it was dark, but it was illuminated by our lights. And Ferg and I both did one of those W.C. Fields triple takes. You know, yes. I mean, how's that okay? Or what's the mindset that says it's okay?
I'm sure that they just think that they're
terribly clever.
Yeah.
Makes you wonder if the water's been walked on in advance.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's cute.
Well, even a blind hog finds an acorn now and then. Let's check in with some other folks in the gathering this evening because we got a good little group going on. From far Asia, it's one of those evenings, and Horst has joined us.
Yeah, I think I'm here. How's it sound?
Oh, you sound great, man.
Oh, good. Yeah, well, I'm on my normal machine. I picked up myself a new Chromebook for work last week, and I was trying to connect with it earlier, but it didn't seem to. I mean, it did okay at first, but I was trying to personalize the interface a little bit and screwed the whole thing up. So now I can't get back in on it. So,
oh, you fixed it real good.
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah. Learned it a thing or two.
Well, I just have to tell you, Dr. Bill loved that piece that you wrote.
Oh yeah, well I was able to catch the podcast of you guys discussing it a little bit later. Yeah, I missed the ability to be able to call in and talk to him directly. So I had a thought one day when I was off work, and so I tagged him in that. Figured he'd get a chance to look at it at least, because I don't know. I'm trying to think when the last time I called in was, but it's been almost a year, I suppose. So
has it been?
I feel
a year?
Bad about that. Well, it was. It's been before the last two daylight savings time switches. So, previous spring, March, April, something like that, probably. The last entire time zone time change, I missed out. I didn't call in the whole time there. So, sometime before that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It does. It does. Well, he loves y'all's conversations.
Yeah, I miss it too. I got a new job a couple months ago, and I've still got the old job too, so I've been kind of out of the house for about 14 hours a day, 6 days a week since then, and I can't stay up late enough to call him in anymore, so it just hadn't been possible.
Well, it's especially, is it better or worse when the time change comes around? Standard time versus DST.
Oh, it gets worse for him. It's better for you because it makes everything an hour later. But his show doesn't come on here until like 2 a.m. So when you're on an earlier on, I don't even know which one is which.
Well, we're in standard time right now.
I think. Yeah, this is the harder time for me. The whole easier time I couldn't get in for different reasons. Then I got the new job, and then the time zone changed and made it even worse. So, yeah, I might call in like during Chinese New Year or something like that. But you know, short of having a vacation or something like that, I don't think I can do it because I'm not getting enough sleep as it is with my current schedule.
But one good thing where you are. All the restaurants are open on Christmas.
And they're
almost all Chinese restaurants, right?
That's true. And my job also. I didn't work yesterday, but that's because I got a cold and I stayed home. But everybody else, it was just me by myself. Oh, yesterday was Christmas for me. So
right,
this is
right, yeah.
The morning of the 26th. And I got to go into work sometime this evening, at least maybe this afternoon if I get called in. So anyway, that's
we haven't talked in quite some time, but since we were talking about things Trumpian, is there a palpable sense among people there of just how not normal and how generally screwed up things have become and what a threat to the world this man presents?
No, not at all. I don't think nobody here really pays attention to U.S. politics as much as they probably ought to. For the most part, I don't get any sense of that at all. In the very beginning, people either didn't know who Trump was or they only knew him from TV. They'd not seen anything about the news cycles leading up to the election or through the primaries. None of the incendiary remarks. None of the debates, none of that stuff. People don't follow it. Local politics is, you'd expect it to take, more priority. And then this region, there's other interesting stuff going on too, of course. So the international scene is dominated by whatever China's up to. And lately, North Korea's actually said a couple of kind of unfriendly things to Taiwan also. So I'm not really sure what that's about. I haven't seen that in the local news very much. But my wife said they issued some kind of a threat the other day, and we had some jets scrambling overnight. I went and checked the English headlines about it, but I didn't find anything, so I don't really know what's going on.
And I have to tell you, Horst, on Facebook, I get great pleasure out of reading your adventures in learning Chinese.
Yeah, that's I like to be able to post those whenever I can. My studying is kind of it goes up and down. I spend a lot of time commuting now between two jobs because I use the public transportation, right? So my old job I take the train and the new job I take the bus. So all together in a single day I might spend like maybe 2.5 hours in commuting, and that's my study time right now. So if I run across something interesting and I have time to post it to Facebook, I like to do that. But that's been kind of sparse lately too.
So have you reached a level of something, of comprehensibility?
I've turned a corner of some sort. I can actually communicate in it now. That's something that was elusive for the first, 12 years or so. And then recently, in the last – well, because I took a restaurant job, I guess, 2015. So, yeah, getting close to 3 years ago, where it was just me and my old buddy. The first Taiwanese guy I met who was a restaurant owner, he has a sushi place. I took a year off of teaching and went to work for him instead for minimum wage. Let me tell you something. Taiwanese minimum wage is not very fun. But I spent about a year and a half there just doing that. Again, six days a week, 12 hours a day. And that improved my language fluency quite a bit, but not as good as it should be considering all the work that went into it. But at least it got me through that barrier. That's what I needed. And so now I can get around conversationally, and reading is pretty good. I've always, put a lot of emphasis on the characters. So I think I probably know about 4,000 or so of those, which includes a lot that aren't really in common use. So now it's just a matter of the combination. It's like learning a really giant, alphabet. Individual characters by themselves don't necessarily convey much meaning. So there's a whole other mountain to tackle with, the vocabulary terms.
I'd love to. I was reading one of your observations, and it struck me because I know you and I are both big fans of Mark Twain.
Oh yeah.
I'd love to see you essay a take on the awful German language only with what you're dealing with.
Yeah.
And I mean, what does one refer to it as? Is it Mandarin or I mean, is Taiwanese its own dialect or?
Well, there's both actually. The Taiwanese dialect is so different that it's actually more of a. It really sounds like an entirely different language, and what do you call it? It is considered a dialect, but it doesn't sound. I mean. It doesn't sound, it has different vowel sounds and has, I don't even know how to describe it, but it doesn't have a written component either.
With what you're learning, is the tonality still there?
Oh, well, I just study Mandarin Chinese. I mean, that's like the official language of Taiwan. They have their own separate dialect that people speak in private, and it's interesting. The more south you go, the more country you get, just like it is in the U.S. and actually a lot of other countries I've been to. Something about the south, anyway. So the more south you get, the more people speak the local dialect, and they rely less on the Mandarin. Although, like all the newspapers and everything in print is in Chinese, Mandarin Chinese, because there is no written component of the Taiwanese dialect. Although you can use – I'm sorry?
I have a question. It's Betsy.
Yeah.
I have students from both China and Taiwan in my advisory, and they write differently. One of the twins from Taiwan use traditional characters.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The kids from China use the more modern ones.
Right. Yeah, that's true. They still use the traditional characters in Taiwan and Singapore. Yeah, that affects everything. That's what they teach in the schools. They don't teach simplified characters here, and they don't teach traditional characters there, in mainland China. At least not in the public school curriculum.
Is that an ideological thing or?
Yeah, well, kind of. What my understanding of it is, they adopted the traditional set back in the back in the old Mao days when they were doing one of their great leaps forward. They were trying to push literacy rates. And so they thought they went under the assumption that a simplified character set would make it easier to learn, reading and writing, and then it didn't. So then after that they started lying about the figures instead. Now, that's what I heard anyway. But literacy in Taiwan is incredible. It's like 98% plus.
Well, Horace, you'll be glad to know that in a sixth grade classroom in Texas, they're teaching it to each other.
Oh, that's awesome. That's really good.
Because why not?
Yeah, why not? Besides that, I don't know. I'm guessing they're all feeling kind of like fish out of water there, aren't they?
A little bit, yeah.
I was able to connect while I was struggling with my Chromebook a little while ago, and I heard you describing some of the struggles the uh, the other kids were going through.
Yeah.
Which is just beyond too bad. I don't know what we do about that. anyway, on the the character set, yeah, they're completely different. Now, the thing is that the simplified characters is not a complete new set of characters. It's only like some of the most commonly used ones. I think altogether there may be something between 600 and 1,000 of those. I don't really know, but they use a lot of the same characters in common.
Happy Birthday looks different.
The first two should be the same. Those are both really easy characters. I don't know. I haven't studied the simplified ones, so I can recognize a few of them just because you get incidental contact here and there. The last one would be different for sure.
Well, we make each other birthday cards, so.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Whenever it's somebody's birthday, everybody signs the card.
Oh, okay. Oh,
yeah.
That's cool.
And they'll write happy birthday in their language.
So,
if they're literate. So
Betsy, you do. Are you only ESL, or do you have like a couple of ESL classes and then like normal like history classes or something? Or
so I teach English as a second language.
Yeah.
I don't teach the English class this year. I teach a writing class to kids who've been here for a while, but writing is the reason that they can't leave the program. And this is my fourth year teaching that. And then I teach math, two different classes. One is to students who did not get a chance to study math or have a 3 or 4 year gap in their math study somewhere. And then the other one is sort of a half study hall, half math class to kids who are either were with me last year and are now in regular classes, or kids who are missing some basic concepts, but they're taking regular math on what we call B days, and then my class on A days.
Okay. So all of your students are ESL students, though?
My advisory includes 8 American peer buddies.
Oh, okay.
But other than those 8, yes.
Right. Off the top of your head, do you know how many nationalities you have
in the school?
In your classes? Yeah, well, just in your classes, I guess, among your students.
In my classes, probably 8 or 9.
Okay.
In the school, 40.
Wow. Okay.
We count country of birth and we count native language, first language, but we don't actually count nationality. So like my Taiwanese kids are American. My Japanese speaker is actually half Vietnamese and half American, but has grown up in Japan.
Okay.
Like, It doesn't necessarily match.
Right. Okay.
I have a number of students whose literacy language is Turkish.
Huh.
Even though that's not their home language. But that was the first country of refugee settlement.
Oh, all right.
So it's called the country of proximity.
Well, you know, one of the things I'm...
And I have one of them who speaks Russian. I have an Afghan kid who speaks Russian. Reads in Russian. She reads in Russian better than she reads in English. Better than she reads in Dari. Like, that's her literacy language. Although English is picking up quickly.
You know, given the fact that of what's been going on there, and the fact that Pope Frank even has been there and now is addressing the crisis, I wonder in the current climate, now that, it's Trump's world and we all just live in it, I wonder if we will see any Rohingya to the extent that they can even get away allowed into the United States.
Honestly, we're allowing fewer and fewer people in. It's really bad. A friend of mine, who you interviewed, Bob, years ago, who is Iranian, not a refugee, but she's Iranian. She and her husband are celebrating their 25th wedding anniversary and her father from Iran is not allowed in the country. 1 week visa. He's not allowed in. Bought his plane tickets.
So is it about time to sandblast those Emma Lazarus words off of the Statue of Liberty?
They have no meaning. This guy doesn't even want to live here. He wants to come and, you know, go to an anniversary party.
Get off the plane, go have a piece of cake, and get back on the plane.
Pretty much. Kiss the grandbabies.
That he may never see again.
That he may never see again. I don't know that he's ever met the younger one.
Jesus. Well,
what was this I heard today about not letting Germans in? Is that for real?
I was on the road all day. I missed that one.
I haven't clicked through. I'm scared to.
Germans.
Haven't heard about it here either. I just got up, though, so I'm completely out of the loop.
All right, I'm going to find a link and put it in the chat room.
Okay, I'm going to, because that'll, really? The guy is two generations removed from his own grandpappy, the draft dodging coward. Was it alleged to be a Trump statement or?
I'm not seeing it right now. I'm having trouble. I think I need to click the news button instead of a search button. Okay, it might not have been real.
Okay, yeah, I don't see it anywhere here either.
Good.
In isolation, it sounds like one of those stories where, like, maybe a German guy got turned away, you know, and then the right wingers would say, "See, it's not just Muslims; we do it to everybody," but because you know that's their style. But it might not be anything at all.
Good.
Well, I know there's been a lot of hooting and braying about chain, because see, every time the little white wingers learn a new phrase, they use it a lot, so that it, you know, maybe it'll stick or something. There's been a lot of hooting and braying about chain migration of late.
Uh-huh. Which is how Trump's parents got here.
Well, yes.
Trump's father.
His father or his grandfather?
I get maybe grandfather.
Yeah. His mama was off the boat from Scotland. But his granddaddy, if I understand correctly, was thrown out of Germany for being a draft dodger and came back to the United States and pursued a lucrative career in the skin trade.
Yeah, he had a sister already here. That's how he got here.
Yeah.
So that's chain migration. Otherwise known as family.
Yeah. They come up with these terms like anchor baby is a better term for them than American citizen.
Yep. Anyway, Horace, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just wanted to ask about the Chinese.
No, that was a lovely little digression. Let me run around the room a little bit, though, and we haven't heard from Devin in ages, and Devin's with us this evening. Hey, Devin.
Am I coming through okay?
We have you 555.
Okay, well.
This is the United States calling. This is the United States calling.
My
are we reaching?
Snowball.
Oh, you got a snowball mic.
Yes. In all its cardioid glory.
It's a cardioid?
Yes.
Very good, very good.
Well, it has switches.
Oh, you probably got a base roll-off switch on it.
Yeah, you can You can drop 10 dB off of that, or you can go to Omni.
Oh, yeah, the Omni. You don't want the omnidirectional for something like this.
No.
No, I don't think so.
All you could hear then would be the
So did you guys get a nice dusting of snow up there this morning?
There's about 2 inches.
Oh, you got more than we. You're at a higher elevation than I am, I think.
Yeah. Well, and the wind is blowing, so them there giant whirligigs up on the mountains are turning, and
yeah, but they're
so,
not.
I don't think we got to blow up any mountains to have this conversation right now.
Don't be giving fake news to people. Those whirligigs ain't really making electricity, because remember, Joe Manchin done told us they don't work in West Virginia.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, you have to flip the switch on the back of them, and you know, like them fans from the dollar store that oscillate. And you know, you got to stoke some coal into them to, you know, span them up to speed.
Yeah, right.
So, but no, I wanted to get a piece of that the phenomena of the Hispanic. Beating down on the Muslims, and that is a rite of passage of becoming an American. You must turn and crush those who come in behind you, pulverize them to dust, and then, when they are sufficiently brutalized to the point where they will then turn and brutalize those who come in behind them. That is the American way. That is the only possibility of perpetuating this system in perpetuity.
And has for a while, too. But not this way, I don't think.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, it sounds an awful lot like what was done to the Irish.
Well,
but that's just my thoughts.
Well, I mean, if you look at the migratory patterns in the colonial United States, you'll find that. For instance, the Germans who came later and landed at Germantown, which is now part of Philly, but used to be an entirely separate community way the hell out of Philly. Eventually, those Germans were told, you know, keep moving, bub. No room for you here. And that's and
right.
And Virginia at the time had said, lots of land down here. Because they were trying to sucker people into coming down and settling the Allegheny front. And Germans, Scots, Irish, all wound up, you know, basically the route that I-81 follows to the extent that when you get to Stanton, there is a Frontier History Museum, because hard to believe that it is, that was the frontier once. And some people populated that area, and my Kincaids went off that way. But a whole bunch of people kept going south until they got to the Cumberland Gap, and even others kept moving until they got to North Carolina.
Yeah. I have a lot of ancestors who were descended from Hessian mercenaries who flipped.
You too.
And killed off the Redcoats. Yes.
I haven't been.
Yeah, go ahead.
One of mine is either that or got here before the revolution. It's kind of hard to sort out, but you know that those we have this vision of the Hessians as a bunch of brutal, bloodthirsty killers who were just in the brutal, bloodthirsty killing business. But what we don't know, most people don't realize is those were conscripts. Those were conscripts that some German princeling was hiring out to the British.
Exactly.
Because the British were having a hard time raising enough manpower to deal with the problem that they, the British, created in the first place.
It was Rent-A-Horde.
Come on down to Gustav's Rent-A-Horde. Yep.
And but anyhow, these ones they flipped and killed a whole lot of redcoats.
Yeah, my guy apparently
settled around Oakland and Kaiser and all that.
Kaiser, imagine that. Yes. Yeah, mine went on down and I guess skedaddled up through the Cumberland Gap into what is now Lawrence County, Kentucky. And his last name was Bodder.
Yeah. Bodder.
Mm-hmm.
As in,
like,
with two A's?
No, like as in Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Bodder.
Okay.
And eventually that gets anglicized to Borders. And Borders, I found him because I started looking up my great-grandfather's middle name, because his middle name was Borders.
Yeah. Well, there was a whole lot of World War One era name alteration going on as well. I mean,
it starts with the British Royal.
My mother's family was Heinbach, and they Anglicized it to Heinbach.
Well, like I said, it starts with when the British Royal Family feels like they need to, because Battenberg became Mountbatten.
Right. Yeah, it's an interesting thing, but there's an old family saying that came down, never trust a mercenary. So, yeah, it's
beware.
All sorts of fun in my kinfolk. I mean, you know, and then there's the Scots, Irish, the Scots who had a brief stay in Ireland of my father's mother.
Yeah, you know the old saying about them. The Scottish landed in Ireland and fell on their knees and prayed to God and fell on the locals and prayed on them.
Yeah, but my grandmother was a direct descendant of Macbeth, probably along with half of Scotland, but, you know, that's beside the point.
So are you looking for big things now that coal has come back and we're all going to have Frisbees and wheat checks? Has it trickled down to you yet, Devin?
No. Well, it probably won't be that big up here, anyways. They much rather prefer to finish flattening your part of the state. Although there are some more longwall miners being brought in up here. Now, the big thing up here is going to be all that fracking. There's going to be a new wave of fracking. I went to the doctor in Morgantown the other day, and coming up on, you know, up through the main drag, you know, south side of town, you know, other side, you know, the north side of 68. You know, before you get to all the car dealerships, on the left side, there's about there's a big patch about half a mile long and you know, eighth of a mile wide, and there's just this mountain, this massive stack of 42 inch steel pipe.
Oh, I got
filling that lot.
I've got three of those. I've got three of those between Beckley and I-79 on US 19.
Yeah, that's going to be the big boom.
That's the mount. Oh, that, what is it? The Mountain View Pipeline. That's what that is.
Yeah, it's the Keystone XL for gas.
And they want to build a compressor station in this county, which is almost guaranteed at some point in time to blow up.
Whole damn thing is guaranteed to blow up at some point or another.
I mean, it's another case where the engineering reports say, you know, when this fails, not if this fails.
Right. 42-inch, when that goes, they can see that from space. Like naked eye, you know, sitting in the ISS going over, like, damn, you know. People be wondering if they set off a nuke. And
now you got me going.
Dad was talking about trying to go be a welder on it. I don't. Because they'll pay astronomical sums of money.
Well, they will. They will. But for how long?
Well, I mean, it'll probably take 2 or 3 years to build.
God, it's a horror to contemplate, because I mean, what Devin said, yeah, you're talking about prep sites that are a half mile long. You know, 3, 4, 5, 6 football fields. And the pipe is stacked, what, 8 high?
Well, they didn't quite get that high in Morgantown, but they're probably still working.
The lay down yard, Bob.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, that's what we call on a power plant.
Well, this thing's going to be a disaster. And once again, it's only designed to get the natural resource the hell out of West Virginia. Because God forbid, I mean, it's going to get burned. God forbid we should get any of it.
Yeah. And the thing is, though, once they get that pipeline in and they can actually sell the stuff, because that's the problem right now, they can't really get it out. You know, they sunk in all these wells, but they can't really get it anywhere. They've just sort of planted the flag.
Well, right. See, Devin, it's the same.
They go in, they drill a well, and plant the flag so that they can hold that property, you know, in perpetuity. So they can come back and drill anytime they want to or do anything they please.
And in many ways, it's a repetition of 125 years ago with coal. They came in and they bought all the land and they bought all the reserves, even though they didn't have a railroad with which to get it to market. because they knew eventually they would.
But that's when you want to buy, because it's cheap.
Yeah, it's a bargain. Yeah. Buy Grapthar's hammer. What a savings. Sorry, I watched Galaxy Quest again.
It's going to destroy our entire water table.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is. And now we know, because this is all coming from frack wells inside West Virginia. We know from the Princeton study that piggybacked on what Michael Hendricks did with mountaintop removal sites. Yeah, that if you happen to be a woman who's pregnant near a frack pad, you've got a distinct likelihood of giving birth to a low birth weight baby, who is then going to be sick all its life.
Which will then produce genetically mutated offspring who will be even sicker.
Oh, goody, just what we need.
Yeah, but cancel CHIP and Medicaid while you're there.
Well, right. Yeah, because that's communism.
Bob, I missed the first part about the Muslim children being harassed and all. Where is this taking place at?
You want to handle that
That's at Austin, Texas.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. I guess I'm dumber than a box of rocks because I was never taught to be prejudiced against Muslims. You know, it's odd to hear that. It's odd to hear that that's even taking place in the United States. Of course, Texas would be a whole lot better if they'd run their governor out and they'd run John Hagee out and all his followers
and slightly more than half the legislature. Sure, but yep. it's not an isolated event. It's all over the country.
It is.
Well, I mean, I've got Muslim friends, and you know, I mean, I don't agree with their religion, but I'm still friends with them. I don't ever harass them. I don't ever, you know.
No, but you are atypical, Charlie.
Yeah, but these are 13 and 14-year-olds. 11, 12, 13, and 14. It's happening a lot.
It just seems odd that I'm hearing that this is happening in the United States of America. I would have never thought that in my life.
Yeah, well, but Charlie, that's what it means to live in Trump-merica now.
Yeah, I know it, and that's sad. I mean, I've been on this earth for 63 years, and I didn't think I would ever see anything like this happen.
No, yeah, you're old enough that you thought that we were actually making some progress. I mean, you're a Tennessean. You saw the struggle for civil rights, and you know, probably presumed that maybe things were getting, you know, if not great, at least a little better along the way. But what we found out in the 8 years of Barack Obama, and now with 1 year of Tangerine Tiberius under our belts, what we're finding is that we were never anywhere near as close to being even better as we thought we were.
But I don't know. I've written some of these people that we've got a conservative talk radio station here, and I've written some of the people on that, and they told me that my language was hateful and everything like that because, you know, basically I told them that you know, they're a bunch of religious bigots and they need to get out of my country. And I just, you know, I'm sorry?
Good luck.
I mean, you know, we're all in this together and there's all different religions here. And, you know, if you can't get along, then there's something wrong with you.
Well, it's not so much. It's,
honestly, we have problems not just with Americans. We have problems between Arabs and Turks. We have problems between Arabs and Kurds from the same country. I mean, there's a lot of difficulty understanding, you know, difficulty going around.
Well, I knew there was difficulty between the the Kurds and the some of the Arabs, because there was a guy that used to own a computer store and he was Kurdish. And then there was another guy that used to own another computer store in Nashville, and he was from Jordan. And, you know, I asked him, I said, well, do y'all ever get into any business deals together or anything? And he looked at me and said, I'm Kurdish. And I thought, well, so what? So,
well,
I guess
we had some problems here at the high school, where there was actually a fight, cafeteria fight, started between Arabic boys and Kurdish boys. And we at the middle school found out all about it before it got to us, and we had the younger siblings of a number of them. And we pulled the kids aside first period before they even got to class and said, hey, we know what's going on. We know exactly whose brothers are involved. We know how it started. We know the whole thing. And it's not coming here. So if you are not willing, if you are willing to follow our rules at school, you can stay in your class. If you are not willing to leave this between your parents or leave and you insist on bringing it at the school, we could do schedule changes right now. Let me know. I've got the computer app. I'm happy to change schedules. And they all decided that they wanted to get along. And later they thanked us, me and the assistant principal, they thanked us for giving them permission to leave it at home.
Good. It seems like it's happening in the United States, and it seems like it's happening all over the world, and it seems like it's getting worse. I mean, I've never seen anything like it.
Well, these kids who come to school and abuse Muslims, probably at least half of them can expect a righteous ass beating at home if they're not hostile to Muslims.
It's terrifying. I mean, it does. It presents a terrifying picture of the future. That's what I was getting at earlier. It's bad enough right now. I think the remark was made, we've got 60 million horrible human beings in this country as it is. What happens when every one of those gets replaced and one more, say, one more added? That's 90 million horrible human beings. And this is, you know, this is the same group of bigots that have religious organizations that are dedicated to the proposition that they need to have, you know, 14 kids for Jeebus. That's what the Quiverful movement is. That's what those creepy people from Arkansas were.
Well,
Bob, I wouldn't worry too much about that, because I don't think there's going to be humans on this planet a whole lot longer. So, you know, I don't know that they'll make it to 90 million.
There you are. Little ray of Christmas sunshine.
Unless they can figure out how to get the loaves and fishes multiplied, or the magical Cheeto machine to make Cheetos out of whole cloth instead of Monsanto corn, because here pretty soon that corn ain't going to grow no more. Except in Canada, maybe.
You know, I was, it's a valid point, Devin. I was down south, traveled from the Gulf Coast all the way up the east side of Mississippi and into northwest Alabama, and that's coming back. Going down, we went down through Alabama, and I cannot tell you, and this was, you know, this was early August, not even harvest. And I cannot tell you the number of burned up, dead, acres upon acres upon acres of corn that I saw.
Yeah, it's very delicate corn is when it comes to temperature. If you pop above a certain temperature, I think it's about 105, somewhere in that neighborhood. If you have excursions beyond that for very long,
the funny thing about corn though is that it is deliberately evolved as a result of human activity from a grass that you wouldn't even recognize as corn, teosinte.
Right.
And as it as it was evolved and spread, the stuff that grew and flourished in the area where it was first developed would not long survive in the high areas of the Andes or the relatively at the time sopping wet southeast. But lo and behold, it was able to mutate and evolve into strains that would. That's the problem with a one size fits all approach to genetic engineering.
Well, the other problem is when you get to firing away with the gene gun, you do tremendous damage to the rest of the DNA of the plant. And once you do that, you make it highly susceptible to things it was not susceptible to before. Also, as the generations progress, all those errors compound.
Yeah, it's sort of like
golden rice.
I do.
It was supposed to be the crowning glory achievement of genetic engineering, and it was going to save the rice-eating peoples of the world. Well, now, as the generations progress, the yields are falling off a cliff. It's just turning.
If you remember the bad old days of cassettes. So you sit down, you take your favorite album, and you record it onto a cassette. And your buddy says, "I want to copy it," and so you copy the instead of copying from the album to the cassette to another cassette, you copy cassette to cassette. And if you go cassette to cassette to cassette to cassette, your audio quality. It diminishes dramatically with every generation.
Right.
And that's I think that's at least a reasonable way of envisioning this. Hey, I want to make sure that everybody gets at least a say-so in all of this. Clarity has been with us and terribly, terribly quiet all evening long. Good evening, Clarity.
I got a dog with cabin fever. She's driving me nuts today. She doesn't like the snow.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, well, she's a house dog. And it's been cold today. It got up to a balmy 25. It's been down in the teens this week. And I'm glad I'm not in Portland, though. They've got freezing rain in the valley. And, just when people are traveling the holidays.
Yeah, I'd rather have a foot of snow than 2 inches of ice.
Yeah, well, and Portland's got a lot of hills on the west side. So, yeah, they had West Burnside. People were sliding right off the side of the road. That was the first street that they closed off. But, what we're talking about here just sounds like Yugoslavia shifted over to the right a little bit, moving eastward. I used to work with a guy and waited tables with a guy that had dual passport, Iran and the U.S. He was a Berkeley graduate student and he was working part time, And at that time, he could go back and forth. But I'm not sure where he ended up now. But he said, your average Joe in Iran could you know, they're not the people that are going, oh yeah, we need to go against these evil Americans. But there's a, you know, there's a certain part, just like, you know, our society is fracked away by, you know, divisive, you know, propaganda and controlling the news flow. You know, I live in a place where everybody listens to Fox and says that, you know, CNN is the devil and would never listen to BBC or even Canadian news. Even though I see it as they say the stories are pretty much the same. I imagine in China, you know, they have a little bit more of a control, but, you know, everybody else gets their stories off the wire and gets the sound bites. They're lazy, you know, as you were saying today, Bob, that, you know, nobody's working today. I mean, it'd be a good day to sneak up on us. We're all, you know, overdose on turkey.
Well, that and you know, we're all busy doing the bidding of you know, the maximum dictator for life, you know, and you don't, there's no time to do anything except wish each other that phrase that I refuse to say until he's gone.
Yeah, today I couldn't ride my bicycle because there was snow and ice and I didn't want to tempt fate. But a year ago, I had my arm in a full cast, and there was about 8 inches of snow on the ground, and I had to walk to the store to get groceries. So it was nice today. Snow was still soft, wasn't crusty, and very few cars or anything out. It was dead silent. I could hear my ears ring walking to the store. It was that quiet.
It's kind of eerie, isn't it?
It is, compared to as noisy as it is, because there's a trailer factory about two blocks away from me, and a cement company even closer. So, yeah, it grinds pretty loud, just this low grind of hum stuff going on. But then again, if you live next door to me, which I don't have neighbors, you'd probably think my practicing was humdrum, you know, noise too.
Yeah, but you know what? By God, tomorrow, coffee breaks over, back on your heads.
Well, that's what I'm saying. After you come out from the turkey hangover, you wake up and go, oh, my God, you know, I've overspent for Christmas. And, you know, the bill's going to be coming in here in about 5 days. And how are we going to get this done?
Yeah, no kidding.
And that's, you know, that's something that never gets really reported. I listened to a podcast. It's called IRE, Independent Reporting something. And it was about temporary workers and how risky it is to be a temp worker. And this woman went underground and hired out at this place. And what she had to go through to get this story, because the company was paying people through a second party, not through the temp agency, but through a check cashing place. And they didn't have any pay stubs or anything. So they didn't have any work record. They were all, you know, first-generation immigrants. You know, and that was – anyway, the story was that this woman, her hijab caught in a machine and strangled her. And they interviewed a couple people that were working that day, and they didn't even shut down the plant. They didn't even shut down the plant. They just kept on running production. And it took her forever to find out who the woman was because there were no records of the incident. So yeah, these people that are new in the country go through a lot of abuse, not just at school, but at work. I had a friend that was denied service at a restaurant because he was the wrong color. You know, he was Hispanic, and, this one place, wouldn't serve him, and he, you know, wouldn't leave, and they called the cops. He spent a night in jail. This is right here where I live. And you know the story about the guy from Echo that went off on a homophobic rant at a city council meeting. And there's no way for them to get rid of him until his term runs out. So they're stuck with this guy who hasn't recanted on his story, you know, that AIDS is anally in, you know, death serum.
Oh, and you know, there's so many. I got a stack of them. I just somehow didn't quite have the stomach to go into them this evening. But let's see. I got a North Carolina guy here. Formerly a member of the North Carolina legislature, a Republican by the name of Danny McComas, from the state board, who just resigned from the State Board of Transportation after a woman revealed that he had dragged her around the office by her ponytail to show other people in the office the tattoo she had on her neck. And he and at first he was like, I ain't gonna quit.
Well, back to Betsy's conversation about, you know, the kids getting assaulted at school and you know, not wanting to get retaliated against for even telling who, you know, they couldn't tell who did it to them with the bullying and such. I was knocked out cold when I was 14 years old. And because I had taken a swing at the guy blindly, I didn't even know who was messing with me. I was found that it was my fault because I had hit him first. Even though he was 70 pounds bigger than me, you know, the heavyweight on the wrestling team. So, I know about violence in middle school. You know, a lot of hormones and a very uneven, you know, developmental, physically and mentally at that age. Some, you know, are very bright. And then there's some of them that, you know, they haven't been taught how to learn, how to study, how to do any of that stuff. So they're a problem in their class because they're lost. May have a learning disability that's never been diagnosed because they don't want to have to pay for special ed. So I've seen it too. I had flashbacks when she was talking about that because 10 years ago this month, I was assaulted while substituting in San Francisco School District. So the risk is there, you know, all the time. And, you know, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, I know. You know, Susan Breaux, the mother of Heather Heyer, it marked her first Christmas without her daughter, or her first Christmas season without her daughter. Because she was, you know, run over by a Nazi.
Vehicular homicide by a Nazi.
Yeah. And she actually had to hide her daughter's grave. To keep it from being desecrated and vandalized by Nazis. You know, Trump voters, as we like to call them.
Well, he's trying to deregulate the gun trade too.
Hell, so I didn't think we had much in the way of regulation left, Clarity.
Yeah, well, Oregon has a little bit stricter than the federal laws here. We got this so-called Democrat Dino. I guess he's a Dino, who's running against the Medicare tax that was enacted to fund our state medical system. And it's up for a vote here in January. And I told you, it's worded the way that if you vote yes, it's no. And if you vote no, it's yes.
Yeah, so people will have no idea.
Yeah.
Right.
But what? luckily in Oregon, we have the DMV registration. You're automatically registered. You know, you have to sign yourself off to not be registered. So that gets out more voters. And vote by mail. Helps a lot.
Oh, I can imagine it does. Kind of hard for the Republicans to steal an election in a vote by mail state, isn't it?
It is, except for Walden, you know. And his latest communique was, well, just wait and see how good it is for my district. You know, the tax bill.
Right.
See how good it is for my district. He has more people on Medicare, Medicaid, Obamacare than any other district in the United States, I think.
I'm not doubting you, but I'd find that, well, you know, big district.
It is,
but probably, more on those services than the other districts in Oregon combined.
I would think as a percentage, yeah.
Well, I thank everybody for jumping in this evening. It's been a wonderful, wonderful, far-ranging, vibrant conversation, as our front porches so often are. This, in this case, being a special Christmas on the front porch that took place on a Monday. I guess this means we've got to bump some morans to tomorrow, but well, I think we can do that. We'll call them Titanic morans. Had a lovely note from Kitty in Boston. Just want to wish you and the Horn congregation a very Merry Christmas. Been listening as I made the drive from my mom's home in Western Massachusetts to Boston. Y'all are great company. Thanks for doing the front porch tonight. Well, thank you, Kitty. Thank you so very much. And hey, you used y'all real convincingly there. I wouldn't, you better be careful, or you won't be able to you keep that up, and you won't be able to pronounce W-O-R-C-E-S-T-E-R anymore. I'm just, you know, trying to be helpful here. But, no, thank you for the lovely note, Kitty, and thanks to everybody else who jumped in and said they were glad that this program, this conversation was here tonight. I'm glad. Certainly, it certainly operated to bolster my spirits. I got in off the road and I was a little bit tired, and just perked me right up. So I hope everybody had a happy, joyful, joyous day. For those of you whose day yet continues, who are a few hours behind, I hope it so continues for you, and all through the week and into the new year. Again, back tomorrow for a 2-hour program, 6 to 8 p.m., and then filling in for Malloy from 9 to 11. Okie-doke, okie-doke. So I hope you'll tune into Progressive Voices for Malloy tomorrow night, and well, tune into this program at 6 p.m., and we'll have a darn fine time. Again, I want to thank everybody who has made it possible for us to finish fundraising for 2017, and I want to thank everybody who made it possible for us to have a fundraising-free week, almost 2 fundraising-free weeks. We've never had anything like that before, and I can't tell you what a joy it is. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky in the chat room. Thank you very kindly to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox and Ben Birch. Hope you enjoyed the crabs and the Budweiser, Steve from Georgistan. Budweiser. I've got to have a long talk with that boy. Thank you very kindly for all y'all do to keep things running. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaged in this little conversation. And, of course, thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.